Welcome to Journal Club for January 18th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. What do bees, ants, moths, bats, fish, birds, and whales have in common? Give up? They all have optimization algorithms named in their honor. And today's article is focusing on a new variant of that last one, whale optimization. In this paper, it's being used to solve a mapping problem for something called a digital twin network, DTN. But the authors didn't just solve the problem that one way, no. They actually solved it seven different ways with seven algorithms, and then benchmarked them against each other. That gives us the opportunity to spend today's episode taking a stroll through algorithm land. We're going to ground ourselves in the problem space very briefly, then spend the rest of the time learning about seven different algorithms, how they work, their strengths and weaknesses, and which one ended up being the best fit for the DTN problem. Let's jump into it. A digital twin is a general term to describe a virtual representation of a physical object or a system or a process. The virtual system is synchronized in real time with its physical counterpart. Why? Because it ensures accurate monitoring and timely decision-making. Digital twins are commonly used in manufacturing, healthcare, smart cities, and even aerospace. Anywhere that a virtual model is needed to simulate, monitor, or optimize a physical system. In digital twin networks, DTNs, a real-world physical network is mirrored in software. By real-world physical network, I mean the kind of infrastructure you'd see in a data center, where physical devices like routers, switches, and servers manage data flow. In DTN, the twin network enables dynamic interaction and data exchange between the physical and virtual domains. Generally, you can see DTNs deployed anytime that performance optimization is a top concern for the network. That being said, constructing DTNs for large-scale networks is tough. The main task here is called mapping, which is the act of assigning physical network elements to corresponding digital twin entities in a way that satisfies resource constraints and operational requirements. So in other words, as the system grows, the task at hand becomes like a harder and harder CSP, a constraint satisfaction problem, with two main buckets of constraints. One, resource constraints. The total CPU, memory, and bandwidth required by the twins must not exceed the capacities of the corresponding servers and links. And two, communication constraints. Digital twins that interact frequently should ideally be assigned to the same server to reduce inter-server communication costs. And to be clear, it's also still an optimization problem. It's not just a CSP, but the constraints play a huge role. Without an efficient mapping strategy, something that can solve the constraints and optimize the solutions, DTNs risk becoming operationally expensive and resource inefficient. And this undermines any potential benefits that you'd be getting from operating them in the first place. Unfortunately, simple rules or conditional logic isn't up for the job here, so you need to pull out the big guns, the algorithms. In this paper, the authors decided they'd invent one. The Adaptive Boundary Whale Optimization Algorithm, ABWOA. It's not an entirely new invention, though. It's just a new variant of a more common algorithm called the WOA, the Whale Optimization Algorithm. Let's look at what the original algorithm does, and then what this new one does differently. The original WOA is a meta-heuristic method inspired by the hunting behavior of humpback whales. If you've ever watched a nature documentary where you see the whales encircling a school of fish and blowing spiral bubbles to trap them in a tight area, that's the behavior this algorithm is mimicking. The algorithm treats potential solutions as whales in a search space. That is, each whale represents a candidate solution to the optimization problem. It initializes the population of whales, assigns them each a random position within the search space, then iteratively updates their positions based on three mechanisms. One, encircling prey. At any given time, the current best solution represents the prey, and other whales adjust their positions to move closer to it. Two, spiral bubble net attacks. Whales approach their prey along a spiral trajectory, not a straight line. This allows the algorithm to explore solutions around the current best position without getting too far off course. And three, random exploration. With the two mechanisms I just described, there's a risk of premature convergence. So in WOA, if certain conditions are met, the whales may move to random positions in the search space. This is governed by a decision rule that is actively trying to balance exploration, that is global search, and exploitation, that is local search. WOA cycles through these mechanisms, progressively narrowing the search space until a stopping criterion is met. So, what's different or new about ABWOA, the new variant that the authors wrote? The key innovation in ABWOA is the incorporation of dynamic search boundary adjustments. As the algorithm progresses, it evaluates the quality of the solutions within the population and dynamically narrows the search space boundaries based on the best solution discovered so far. This adjustment accelerates convergence by focusing the search efforts on promising regions of the solution space. The idea here is that for something as multidimensional as DTN, there was going to be a significant risk of unnecessary exploration in irrelevant areas. They didn't want to pull the random exploration mechanism out because it's still useful, but they needed something to temper it a bit. In addition to that, ABWOA employs a more sophisticated constraint handling mechanism. It uses something called the Augmented Lagrangian Method, ALM, which penalizes infeasible solutions in a way that reflects the severity of constraint violations. These tweaks, the authors argue, should make their new version more adaptable, precise, and efficient than its predecessor. But they needed to put that idea to the test, so the authors constructed a proof-of-concept ABWOA and deployed it alongside traditional WOA to see which was more effective. But they didn't stop there. In addition to those two algorithms, they also ran benchmarking on five more. Genetic algorithm, particle swarm optimization, artificial bee colony, differential evolution algorithm, and moth search algorithm. Let's take a look at these, how they work, and their strengths and weaknesses. As the name suggests, the genetic algorithm is inspired by natural selection and genetics. It maintains a population of candidate solutions called individuals, which evolve over successive generations. Each individual is typically represented as a chromosome, encoding a potential solution to the problem. It starts with a random initialization of a population, followed by iterative application of three main genetic operators: selection, crossover, and mutation. Over time, the current population is replaced with a new generation, over and over again, until a stopping criteria is met. GA is great at exploring large and complex spaces, but it can struggle with slow convergence and may require fine-tuning to balance exploration and exploitation effectively. Particle swarm optimization, PSO, is inspired by the social behavior of birds flocking or fish schooling. Potential solutions are represented as particles. Each particle has a position as well as a velocity that dictates the particle's movement through the solution space. Particles adjust their positions iteratively based on two key factors: their own best known position, that's called personal best, and the best known position discovered by any particle in the swarm, that's called the global best. The velocity update incorporates a balance of inertia, cognitive influence, and social influence. This allows particles to explore the search space while converging towards promising regions. PSO is great at exploring solution spaces efficiently, but struggles with premature convergence and maintaining diversity. Another swarm variant is the artificial bee colony algorithm, ABC. It's inspired by the foraging behavior of honeybees. It divides the bee population into three roles: employed bees, onlooker bees, and scout bees. Employed bees explore specific food sources, aka candidate solutions, and share what they find. Onlooker bees evaluate the shared information and choose food sources to exploit further. And scout bees identify new food sources by randomly searching the solution space. ABC is great at global exploration and finding diverse solutions, but struggles with refining those solutions in high dimensionality or tightly constrained problems. DE, the differential evolution algorithm, is designed to tackle continuous, nonlinear, and multidimensional problems. The algorithm begins with an initial population of randomly generated solutions, each represented as a vector in the problem's search domain. To create new solutions, it uses a mutation operation that perturbs a base solution by adding the weighted difference between two or more other solutions. This introduces diversity and allows the algorithm to explore new areas of the search space. The mutated solution undergoes a crossover operation, which is combined with an existing solution to produce what's called a trial vector. This trial vector is then evaluated using the problem's objective function. If it performs better than its parent solution, it replaces the parent in the next generation. DE is a tool of choice when you need to efficiently explore large, continuous solution spaces and find global optima. But it's not a great option when dealing with discrete problems or scenarios with lots of intense constraints. And finally, the moth search algorithm, MSA, is modeled on the navigation behavior of moths, specifically their tendency to fly in a line that appears straight when viewed relative to a distant light source. This behavior is referred to as transverse orientation. MSA divides the population into elite moths, that's the best solutions, and non-elite moths. Elite moths focus on local exploitation, while non-elite moths contribute to global exploration. They do this by emulating the random, wide-ranging movements of moths in nature, and this is where the transverse orientation comes in. The non-elite moths navigate by maintaining a fixed angle relative to a distant light source, which in this case is a promising solution or promising direction in the search space. MSA is great at balancing global exploration and local exploitation, but it's another algorithm that struggles with high dimensions or tight constraints. Okay, that's a lot to hold in your head. So just to recap, the seven algorithms used in this paper are genetic, particle swarm, artificial bee colony, differential evolution, moth search, the original whale optimization, and the new proposed adaptive boundary whale optimization. So, which one ended up being best for DTN? Well, the authors tested them all on a series of DTN construction problems with varying levels of complexity and scale. Each algorithm was run multiple times, and they measured solution quality, convergence speed, stability, and computational efficiency. Overall, the results were pretty definitive. Algorithms like differential evolution and moth search struggled to converge on the larger scale problems. Particle swarm and genetic often lagged in achieving high quality solutions. Artificial bee colony was strong with global exploration, but fell short when refining under constraints. The original whale optimization performed well overall. It balanced exploration and exploitation, but it too exhibited limitations in consistency and precision when scenarios got more complex. The author's new algorithm, however, consistently outperformed the rest. Its solutions were higher quality, it converged faster, and it was more stable. Overall, it was definitely the most effective algorithm in this study. Does this mean that ABWOA is better than all the others? No. They're algorithms. They're each designed for a specific purpose, and they all have unique strengths, weaknesses, and use cases. This DTN problem just happens to be the area where this new algorithm does particularly well. Hopefully, after hearing the descriptions of all these other algorithms, you're now better equipped to solve the kinds of problems that these other techniques are good at. After all, it's all about choosing the right tool for the job. And who knows what that next job will entail. If you'd like to dive into the nuts and bolts of this article, check out the diagrams that explain their algorithms, or review their benchmarking results in detail, then I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.